The State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Brusada Carrera.
Here.
Vice Chair Mooney.
Here.
Ranking Member Robinson. Representative Zierington.
Here.
Guerrero.
Here.
Chamberlain.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am. Here.
Nixon. Persons Walenka.
Here.
Seal.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. And by your presence, we have a quorum. I want to welcome everyone to the State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. This afternoon, we will be releasing the budget recommendations and the proposed committee bills that are part of the budget package. Once we are finished with the budget package, we will move into member bills. Members, I will now turn the gavel over to Representative Barrero while I present two proposed committee bills.
Thank you very much, Chair Brusada Carrera. Well, first up on the list, we have PCB for SAT 24-01. That is Federal Law Enforcement Trust Fund, Florida Gaming Control Commission by Representative Brusada Carrera. Rep. Brusada Carrera, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you. Members, this proposed committee bill creates the Federal Law Enforcement Trust Fund within the Florida Gaming Control Commission. The purpose of the trust fund is for the deposit of revenues the commission would receive as a result of federal, criminal, administrative, or civil forfeiture proceedings. Any funds that are deposited into the trust fund cannot be expended until the commission receives a legislative approved appropriation. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any amendments on the bill? Seeing no amendments, are there any questions related to the bill? Yes. Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you. And my question just had to do with, I think presently the money that we receive from these things goes to the county fund or something to that extent. And I kind of wanted to know, how does it change that part during the mutual fund? What makes it?
Representative Brusada Carrera, you're recognized.
Thank you. So yes, unless it's specified, the agency would get it because they are the ones that are doing the seizure.
Representative Robinson, you recognize.
So do we know or have we looked at, would that be any hardship for counties or anything like that?
Representative Carrera, you recognize.
Thank you. We don't expect it to be.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, members, any further questions? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony? We do have one appearance card by Henry Mahler on behalf of the Florida Gaming Control Commission. He waves in support. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Brusada Carrera, you are recognized to close on PCB for SAT 2401, Florida Law Enforcement Trust Fund, Florida Gaming Control Commission.
Wave close.
Having closed on the bill, Emma, please call roll on the bill.
Chair Brusada Carrera.
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney. Ranking Member Robinson.
Yes.
Representative Zierington.
Yes.
Guerrero.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Holcomb.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon. Persons Walenka. Steele.
Yes.
Stevenson.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up on the agenda, we have PCB for SAT 24-02, property seized by the Florida Gaming Control Commission. Representative Carrera, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you. Members, this proposed committee bill amends Florida law to authorize that funds received from the sale or other disposition of property seized by the Florida Gaming Control Commission will be deposited into the Parimutuel Wagering Trust Fund. Any funds that are deposited into the trust fund cannot be expended until the commission receives a legislative approved appropriation. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any amendments on the bill? Seeing none, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony? We do have one public testimony. Henry Mahler, on behalf of the Florida Gaming Control Commission, also waves in support. Seeing no further public testimony, is there any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill? Members, seeing no debate, Representative Posada Cabrera, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Emma, please call roll on the bill.
Chair Posada Cabrera.
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney. Ranking Member Robinson.
Yes.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Barrero.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Holcomb.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon. Persons Maleka. Steele.
Yes.
Stevenson.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the vote is, the bill is reported favorably. I will now pass the gavel back to Chair Posada Cabrera.
Thank you very much. All right, now we will move right into the budget recommendations. Staff will pass out the spreadsheets, and the document will be released on the House website shortly. Members, I am pleased to present my budget recommendations for the 2024-2025 fiscal year. I want to thank the Speaker for allowing me to serve as Chair. I also want to thank the members of this committee for their participation and commitment to our work in developing the budget recommendations for the 12 agencies under the purview of our subcommittee. I believe the budget proposal before us today is fiscally sound, and as I mentioned last year, this budget is mindful of the taxpayers' dollars, and it serves and protects the interests of our citizens. The State Administration and Technology budget proposal totals nearly $3.1 billion, a decrease of $29.1 million, or 1% under last year's budget. We have included $25.2 million in budget reductions, associated reversions, excess budget, contract savings, and long-term vacant positions. Our budget is comprised of $878.8 million in general revenue and over $2.2 billion in trust funds. Funding is included for 11,282.5 positions. The budget provides 95.5 new positions while reducing 140.5 long-term vacant positions for an overall net decrease of 45 positions. To go over a few high-level issues with new funding across our agencies include $187.3 million for various information technology initiatives, over $92 million in funding for repair and deferred maintenance of state facilities, over $74 million for training, equipment, and positions for law enforcement and first responders. We have included $2.2 million in 12 positions in cybersecurity funding to enhance IT security in the Departments of Revenue, Business, and Professional Regulation and Financial Services. Funding is provided for construction of the two memorials here at the Florida Capitol Complex that have been authorized previously in law but not yet funded. First, I have provided funding to construct the memorial to the 241 members of the U.S. Armed Forces who lost their lives in the defense of our national in Beirut, Lebanon, in October 1983. Second, funding is included for the memorial to space exploration that was authorized last session. Now, a few major highlights of the budget by agency. First off, in the Department of Financial Services, I'm happy to share with you that our budget fully funds the CFO's request of $225.8 million for the My Safe Florida Home Program. I have also provided $27 million to establish a My Safe Florida Home pilot program for condos. DFS funding also includes $15 million to establish a veteran first responder electroencephalogram pilot program. Hopefully I said that one right. $66.4 million for the Palm Project, $47.9 million for local fire district grants for fire stations and equipment, $18.3 million for law enforcement vehicles, equipment, and training, $9.1 million for deferred maintenance at the State Fire College, $1.9 million and 20 new positions to handle increased workload in the department, including 7 new investigators for public assistance fraud, and $1.1 million for urban search and rescue training for first responders. In the Department of Management Services, we have $83 million in fixed capital outlay for deferred maintenance of state buildings, $5 million for the state match for federal E-rate, which will allow school districts and libraries to have the funds necessary for design and construction to update facilities with broadband infrastructure, $13.1 million for distribution of grants funds to the counties for 911 operations, $18.8 million for continued implementation of the regional emergency call routing solution. This will allow 911 operators the ability to transfer calls, and $18.6 million for the statewide law enforcement radio system for tower construction, tower leases, and other enhancements. In the Department of Revenue, the budget provides $72.4 million for fiscally constrained counties and $55.2 million for cybersecurity enhancements and updates to the SunTax system and the Child Support Management System. In the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, $2.4 million and 12 positions to ensure that business professionals licensed by DBPR receive their license in a fast and efficient manner. In the Department of Lottery, the House budget proposal funds much of the department's request, which will assist the lottery in achieving the estimated $2.26 billion transfer to education as forecasted by the Revenue Estimating Conference for fiscal year 2024 to 2025. In closing, members, I want to thank you each for your input and ideas and for your participation in agency presentations on the pending budget issues. Thank you, and thank you to our wonderful staff for your hard work. And we're here to answer any questions to the members if you have any at this time. If not, you can always find us later on once you've had a moment to review. Members, are there any questions at this time? No? All right. Well, seeing none, we will move past our budget presentation, and we will now go into our bill presentations. And we do have a few today. Okay, well, first up, I only see Representative Chair Rommel, so come on down. Chair Rommel, you are recognized to present HB 585, Access to Financial Institution Customer Accounts.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate you allowing me to for this bill to be heard. This is kind of a follow-up to my HB 3 last year, which was passed, and we've seen some good results. But HB 585, this requires financial institutions to file a report with OFR when they terminate or suspend a customer's account because of suspicious activity. It's the same report that they would file to a federal agency, whether it's DOJ or IRS, and we just want them to file with us, and we want to make sure that when they suspend somebody for suspicious activity, it's in good faith. If we determine it's in bad faith, they may not be qualified for qualified public deposits, and the consumer that was harmed may be able to file a bad faith claim against them, and that is the bill.
Thank you. All right, are there any amendments? Seeing no amendments, we're in questions. Members, are there any questions? Representative Stevenson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you describe what information is included on the reports to the federal government at this time, and if this creates any conflict between state and federal reporting requirements or other considerations?
Chair Rommel.
Great. Thank you, Representative Stevenson, and I know that you know the banking business well. When a bank suspects somebody of doing something suspicious, whether it's money laundering, selling arms or drugs or something like that, they have an obligation to tell the federal agency that they believe something fishy is happening, and then at times they will suspend their account. And that's fine. We want bad people to put out of business, but unfortunately it's become a political thing for some people. But according to staff, there is no conflict. There's nowhere it doesn't say that the state of Florida can't be informed about the same thing. And when we get that information in the bill, there's another bill that makes, there'll be a public records exemption that information we get will be kept in private, because if there is an ongoing federal investigation, we want to make sure the bad guys go to jail.
Members, Representative Stevenson, follow up.
Thank you. Do you know if the report spells out what or categorizes the reason for the suspension? Do they ever just, if they suspend them because they're rude in to their customers, that would be a reason. That's not necessarily discriminatory, because businesses do have options for people that are disrupted, those kind of things. But do you know, does it actually spell those things out on the report that you'd get, so you'd have a starting place for your consideration at the state level? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Rommel.
Thank you. This only addresses when they suspend for suspicious activity. They suspend because the person's mean or has made threats against an employee, or they go behind below their minimums. But giving an example, it's not a crime to deposit more than $10,000 in cash, but some tricks that people think that they're hiding, sometimes they'll deposit $9,900. They may do it at multiple branches. They may do it on multiple days. It's not a crime. So the banks then have an obligation. If they say, well, that seems a little fishy, they'll report it to, you know, Department of Justice, IRS, and just saying, listen, you know, it's not a crime, but, like, what do you guys think? And then they'll do a little bit further investigation, and at that time, they may be told to suspend that account or on their own, even because, you know, sometimes the federal government doesn't act in a timely fashion. They may suspend that person. And honestly, that, and I've talked to some local banks actually here in Tallahassee, and that has happened. And they'll call up the customer, hey, I know you have a real business, maybe you have a business except cash, but what you're doing looks suspicious. We know you have a legitimate, so deposit all your money at one branch and, you know, just do that. And if the person continues, they could suspend them under the suspicious activity and be it right, and they would be fine as long as, you know, that was the pattern they would follow. So there's not an exact science, but, you know, that's why banks and the regulators in their banks and their compliance departments, they want to comply with federal law and do that. So.
Thank you. Representative Maggard, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, sir. Thank you for all the conversations we've been having. I do have one question. You brought it up, and it jogged my memory. We did pass a similar bill last year. This bill will not, that bill was not enough to help solve this problem.
Chair Rommel.
Thank you. That's a great question. And you know what? I thought it would have been, but back in my district, there was a particular business that his banking was suspended, his family's bank was suspended, and most of his employees were suspended. And they kind of wouldn't tell him why. He was, you know, he was fortunate. It took him, you know, a few weeks to find a new banking source. But when you have a business that's doing hundreds of millions of dollars a year, it's kind of difficult. And, you know, and it, obviously he wasn't doing anything suspicious because he's still in business.
Members, any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we are in public testimony. We do have an appearance card. Anthony DeMarco from the Florida Bankers Association wishing to appear in person. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm Anthony DeMarco, Executive Vice President of Government Affairs of the Florida Bankers Association. And unfortunately, we stand in opposition to the bill. I want to go back to, I think Representative Maggard asked a question about HB3. HB3 just passed, took effect, I believe, July 1st, if I remember right. All the banks that I'm aware of filed all the attestations in compliance with the law. I'm not aware of a, unless it's happened since, there's been no complaints. I am not aware of any complaints being filed. CFO Petronas, I think last Friday, put out a press release with a link. If you have a, want to file a complaint, here's how you file a complaint. Also, the bill, I don't see anywhere in the bill it talks about suspicious activity reports. This is, the way I read the bill, if you close an account, restrict access, whatever, you have to file a report with OFR. The only exceptions to that are a customer wants to change banks, close an account, the account goes dormant or becomes unclaimed property. The customer hasn't done anything with the account. And it goes dormant, then it goes unclaimed. Other than that, we have to file a report. To us, this would only, I believe this bill only apply, it can only apply to state chartered community banks. It cannot apply to national banks because then federal law will preempt that. Banks file SARs all the time for a variety of reasons. The example that was used a minute ago was on cash deposits. If you file $10,000 or more in cash, the federal law requires a bank to file a currency transaction report, a CTR. And if someone goes around and they're putting in different branches, like was said, they could it be trying to get around the CTR, and we have to file a suspicious activity report or a SAR. So we think this is a giant intrusion. To then have to file a report in bad faith where the bill does not define bad faith that I'm aware of, what the in the report is going to be determined later on, and then have OFR examine, I'm sorry, check out and look through every complaint that's filed. There, I mean, this is the Appropriations Subcommittee. When I read the analysis, unless it's changed, and I'll check with, I mean, I'll double check with staff, and Mr. Topp will correct me. It says negative. We don't know because we don't know how many complaints are going to be filed. You would think if this is a big problem, there's going to be a bunch of complaints filed, if you follow that logic down the road. And if there's a bunch of complaints filed and OFR is now chasing all these complaints down and having to investigate them, they're not going to be able to go in and do normal examinations, which is supposedly what led to the failure of Silicon Valley, because the examiner wasn't doing what they were supposed to do to that bank, and we're going to have more problems. So I don't, and then having to think that we're going to have litigation is going to solve this problem. It's just, we just changed the insurance code 2 Decembers ago, I think you all voted as a legislative body on tort reform and insurance. And this is just going to increase more lawsuits. It's going to increase more problems. And I don't believe in any shape, manner, or fashion that they can go after national banks or out-of-state chartered banks who, as I keep hearing, are the people that are doing the so-called wrong things. And you're going to just rely on state chartered community banks and credit unions. It applies to them as well. I'm sorry, madam. I'll get off my soapbox. I appreciate it. I'll be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Thank you. Members, did we have any questions?
I'm sorry.
All right. Representative Stevenson has a question.
So, Mr. DeMarco, you're saying that it doesn't specify that you'll be reporting exactly the same thing that you do to the federal government in this bill, but it doesn't match up to the requirements under the federal law?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The way I read it, filing a SAR suspicious activity report is irrelevant to this bill. It has nothing to do with it other than they happen. I don't know what's going to be in the report because it says the Florida Cabinet is sitting as the State Board of I can't remember the acronym. I apologize. Financial Services. Anyway, they're going to figure it out later. So I couldn't tell you what's going to be in that or not.
Any further, Representative Stevenson, follow-up?
So if you had to submit the SARS report, regardless of the cost that it happens to the state, a bank could submit that to their SARS report, if that was what was specified, to just the state and the federal government as well?
You're recognized.
I will, let me double-check, but I do not believe we can send that. It has to go to FinCEN, which is the Criminal Enforcement Network of the Department of Treasury, and I don't believe we can, but let me double-check and find that out for sure.
Wait.
Follow up?
I'm trying to make sure I don't say debate in this part. Do you think this would be an additional, might put you in conflict between the state law, compliance with state law, and compliance with federal law?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think absolutely it will on that. It could on that. I want to check that answer and get back with you. But I think under federal law, the state cannot go after national banks and out-of-state chartered banks for doing what this bill is trying to get at. So it'd only be state chartered, Florida chartered, credit unions and banks. That's my opinion.
Follow up.
This is not the Insurance and Banking Committee, but I mean, right. I'm on that committee, so I'm aware of it. How are Florida state banks faring right now? Are we getting new ones?
Oh,
we're losing them.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We were leading the state in de novos. We were getting more banks. We were only de novoing, which is what a new bank is called. I'm sorry, 4 or 5. And this is not going to encourage more. If I was going to start a bank in Florida, I would go with a national charter, so I wouldn't have to worry about all this.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, any further questions? Seeing none, thank you
thank
for
you,
being
ma'am.
Here today. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, we are now in debate on the bill. Members, is there any debate? Representative Maggard, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chairman, that we've had a lot of discussions on this. I still have concerns with it, and I would love to. I'm going to be up today. But I really would like to sit down with you and see if we could work out some of these issues and help it out to some of the banks that's maybe not the guilty party. And maybe we could do something to help them out. So I know you will, and that's why I'll be up on the bill today, but I do have some major concerns. Thank you.
Representative Stevenson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. I echo Representative Maggard's comments. I'm concerned about the fiscal impact. I think my impression was that the state banks, our community state banks, are not, a large number, and It's not an easy time. There's some issues for the larger banks, which apparently this doesn't apply to. But I would echo, I'm just concerned about burdening. I wondered if maybe we would do something on a complaint-driven, like if a state resident said, there was a complaint, I feel like I've been discriminated against. Would you investigate, like do it on a complaint basis, which indicated maybe a problem? It might lessen the work burden for the bank as well as the state. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other members in debate? Seeing none, Chair Rommel, you're recognized to close on HB 585.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Anthony DeMarco, for your testimony and your members' questions. And listen, I'm with you. Some of the financial institutions have come to me, and we are working on some amendments, but the bankers have not come to me for any solutions, as opposed to whether or not we have the right to regulate federal banks and state banks. We had that same argument with HB 3 last year, and every single bank, or every single financial institution in the state of Florida, except one, attested it to the bill that we had last year. So I don't believe that, you know, again, I'm not a federal banking lawyer, but every bank and every financial institution attested to the bill we did, and that seems to be working fine. I am open to where it's just those that were harmed and filed a complaint, but again, the bankers have not come to me with a solution. But there is a problem. We have an obligation here to protect our citizens. If one person is debanked for a political reason and not a legitimate reason, it's wrong. People lose their jobs, they lose their investments. And that's all this bill does. The financial impact on the state, I don't think it'll be that great because I don't know how many it's happening to. But I did talk to a large financial institution that does $14 billion a year in business. They had four last year. They did four suspicious activity reports. I talked to one of the largest community banks actually right here in Tallahassee, and they're not speaking, so I want to say their name. They came to my office today, and they said that this would not be a problem for them at all. They did have some other issues with some fraud things that are going on that we're going to try to help them on another bill, and I asked, they didn't even, I thought they came to me on this bill, and it wasn't. I'm willing to work with everybody. This is about protecting Floridians. You know, last year, 1.8 million people in America got debanked. 2 years ago, it was like 700,000. Something's happening. Either we have way more criminals living in our country, which we may, or banks are playing politics. And we want to make sure it's not happening here. You know, banks have had a history over the last, you know, 75 years where they've decided to discriminate against certain people at certain times, depending on your zip code or the product you sold. And we want to make sure it doesn't happen here in Florida. We have a great economy. People love doing business here, and you can make money, you can get great jobs, but we need to make sure people have an opportunity to be, you know, use the banking system. And with that, I close.
Thank you for the presentation. Emma, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Bousada Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney? Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds? Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon? Persons-Zelica? Steele? Stevenson?
Yes, ma'am.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, up next we have Representative Alvarez. Representative Alvarez, you are recognized to explain HB 149.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, members of the committee. HB 149 is a bill concerning continuing contracts. Currently, continuing contracts are a benefit to local governments and state governments that can, when they put out for work or proposed work, they have several vetted members of the community as far as businesses are concerned, and this allows them to pick from them. The threshold currently is $4 million. It began at $500,000 in 1988 when we adopted the federal standard, and we're raising it today to $7.5 million, and then we're tagging that for inflation so we don't have to come back and do this again. That's the bill, ma'am.
Thank you. We do have one amendment. Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 766301.
Thank you, ma'am. This is an amendment that strikes a provision that was dealing only with geotechnical engineers after conferring with the Department of Transportation that is no longer needed, and we've agreed to strike that.
Thank you. We have public testimony on the amendment. Carol Bowen, Associated Builders and Contractors of Florida, waving in support. Thank you. Any further testimony on public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none, we are in debate on the amendment. Members, do we have any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, all in, any opposed to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Oh, wait, do you want to close on your amendment? We could do that first if you want to.
Waive close, ma'am.
All right. Waiving close, seeing no opposition on the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Members, do we have any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions on the bill, we are in public testimony. We have public testimony. Jeff Scala, Florida Association of Counties, waving in support. Thank you. Carol Bowen, Associated Builders and Contractors of Florida, wave. Thank you. And Jessica Love, Florida Association of the American Institute for Architects, waving in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, we are on now in debate. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep, good bill. I think, as we discussed the other day, I think this is an area that can really be improved on, too, as we talked about different avenues to help. Because we understand construction, built especially on the DOT side, we're a little bit behind the eight ball, right? So I think anything we can do to bring more competition in, more contractors in, the better off we are for the state. So I applaud you for handling this. I look forward to working on another bill with you next year. Thank you.
Any further members wishing to debate? All right, seeing none, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close, ma'am.
Having waived close, Emma, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Brusada Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson? Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds? Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb? Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon? Persons Malika? Steele? Stevenson?
Yes.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. And by the vote, your bill is reported favorably as amended.
Thank you, ma'am.
So much.
Bye-bye, committee.
All right. Up next, we have Representative Griffiths. Representative Griffiths, you're recognized to explain HB 779, United States Produced Iron and Steel and Public Works Projects.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity today. Vice Chair Mooney and Ranking Member Robinson. This is HB 799 in its simplest form. This is the Buy America bill. It simply states that all iron and steel must be manufactured in the United States to be used in public works projects, and that is the bill.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, we are in questions. Members, are there any questions on this bill? Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does this have any limit? So of it has to be a major component, or can it be a minor component and you still have to go under this section? Is that Buy American?
Representative Griffiths?
Thank you for the question. Actually, it has no limits, but it does talk about, in the bill, it says if the price is over 20%, then it's not applicable. You can go outside and look for other sources of steel.
Any further questions, members? Oh, seeing no further questions, we are in public testimony. Oh, wow. All right. Your bill is popular. Let's see. Carrie Hebrank, Aluminum Association of Florida, wishing to appear in person, is an opponent of the bill. I guess Carrie's not here. No. Carrie, again. Oh, okay, and Carrie Hebrank again, National Utility Contractors Association of Florida, wishing to appear in person, an opponent of the bill. Derek Taberschofer, Americans for Prosperity, waving in opposition. Johnny Green, as themselves, waving in support. Rick Myers, themselves, waving in support. Willie Kitchen, self, waving in support. Jesse Wire, waving in support. Brian Nathan, waving in support. Dr. Rich Templin, Florida AFL-CIO, wishing to appear in person. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is always super exciting for me to check the proponent box. I don't get to do it very often, and this is the second time in 2 weeks, and you've been a part of both, so I think you're a good luck charm. Thank you.
Maybe stop while you're ahead.
No. Yeah.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak to the real importance of this bill. You know, steel is considered a foundational industry, meaning as that industry grows, it increases the number of jobs in a whole range of other areas of the U.S. economy, whether it's distribution, fabrication, raw material support. Matter of fact, right now we have about 76,000 jobs directly attached to steel production, but that 76,000 generates between 6.2 and 7.3 additional jobs per job. So anything that the states can do to increase the production of steel in the U.S. and make U.S. steel more, not the company, but the steel made in the United States, more competitive really helps the entire U.S. economy. And, you know, I've also been surprised to learn over the last couple of years, I don't know if you were surprised to learn, but we've got steel fabricators right here in the state of Florida. And so this is an important bill. We appreciate the sponsor bringing it and appreciate, Madam Chair, you hearing it in committee today. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan Dyer Shapiro waving in support. Chase Mitchell from CFO Jimmy Patronis' office waving in support. Tim Adams waving in support. Katie Walters waving in support. Heather Fox waving in support. Elizabeth Frankfeld waving in support. Emily Grease waving in support. David Cole from Ductile Iron Pipe waving in support. Jim Mateel, proponent. Thank you. Sheen Selesky waving in support. Sarah Selesky waving in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, we are now in debate. Members, any debate? Representative Harris, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would be remiss if I did not say that my husband is from Pittsburgh, perhaps one of the greatest steel towns in the world. And so it's a great honor to be able to vote up on this bill. Thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you. Representative Maggard, you're recognized in debate.
Good afternoon, Representative. How are you? Hope you're doing well. We are good friends, but I'm not a big fan of this bill. And you and I had this conversation, and it's not that I'm anti-America by far, but I think it's a slippery slope when the state starts saying who you can buy from and who you can't. And I think it leads on that border, and I have not voted for this bill the last two or three times it has been brought to us. For the fact that we're a free market company, let everybody compete. If there's a problem out there with this not the same quality, whatever, you can change that way. But when you're in a free market, you let everybody compete for that job and that bid. And I think it's really a slippery slope. Like I said, if we start saying, you got to buy from this person, I think that's a dangerous slope. So I'll be down on this today. But I do like you a lot, though.
Any further, Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you, and I find myself in a similar position. I took a deep dive on this last time. If you wanna come and talk to me if there's any things that have been done. But the truth is, we have a preference at the federal level, and DOT, we have a preference in DOT projects or anything that has any federal funding in it. But to apply this to local schools and counties and local governments, some of them fiscally constrained, just adds complexity to their process. And I just have a real problem supporting it, especially without a de minimis element, those kinds of things. I appreciate the 20% is 20%. But anyway, so I'll be down on the bill, but I'm open to further discussions. Thank you.
Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to address, thank you, Rep. Maggard and Rep. Stevenson, for the comments. And Randy, you're right. We are good friends. We sit next to each other on the floor, and we had a long conversation about this. I would just say that this is strictly for public works projects. It excludes electronics components. This does not include, if you're a private builder and you want to go buy Chinese steel, that's fine. But I know in this body, over the last year that I've been here, we've talked about countries of concern on many different subjects. The largest exporter of steel in the world is China. That Chinese steel makes its way into the United States and into Florida. And I do not want public works projects using flawed materials. We hear about Chinese drywall, Chinese lead-based paint. Last week, Senator Scott talked about Chinese in our garlic and our cinnamon. This is simply a fact of Buy America. And with that, I close. Thank you.
Thank you. Having closed on your bill, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Brusada Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds? Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb? Maggard?
No.
Maney? Nixon?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon? Persons Malika? Steele? Stevenson?
No.
Two nays, eight yays.
Thank you, Emma. By your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Thank you, ma'am. So much. Thank you, members.
All right. Up next, we have Representative LaMarca. You are recognized to explain HB 95, Yacht and Ship Brokers Act.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members of the committee. This bill regarding yacht brokers, tell you a little bit about the background. Currently, yacht brokers are governed by Chapter 326. There are only six sections within that chapter that guide the industry. The statute has not been updated in 35 years, and at the time these statutory sections were enacted, the industry was far different than it is today. The yacht brokerage industry has a roughly $25 billion economic impact in the state of Florida, and there's an opportunity to further grow that while ensuring appropriate consumer protections are in place. Current situation, as I mentioned, looking at the definition of a yacht is over 35 years ago, and at that time when yachts were sold, they were much different in size and scope, and that does not reflect today's yachting industry. Currently, a salesperson receives a temporary license to operate for 90 days prior to the clearance of their background check. If they don't qualify, then that is revoked. There's an arbitrary term of 2 years that a salesperson needs to hold a license before becoming a broker without consideration of whether they have a requisite experience to be a broker. And finally, out-of-state brokers cannot legally conduct business in Florida. And this bill would redefine what a yacht is, adopt the federal definition for consistency, and specifically the law was written at a time when yachts were under 300 tons, and it's outdated and arbitrary. Second, then no other profession allows someone to operate under a temporary license until a background check is clear. There's no urgency in allowing someone to start selling yachts, and the 90-day period should be eliminated. This process is unnecessary burden in the Department of Business professional regulations to track and potentially revoke a license for those who don't qualify in the end. Third, the bill would allow a salesperson to obtain a broker's license earlier by either receiving 20 hours of basic training or engaging in at least four transactions from offer to close. This provides a requisite experience and eliminates an arbitrary two-year waiting period. And finally, out-of-state brokers would be able to do business in the state of Florida. That would obviously increase sales, economic impact, and maintain Florida's reputation as the boating and yachting capital of the world. And currently, there are 2,818 licensed salespersons in the state of Florida, 1,270 licensed brokers, and last year, there were 29 yacht and ship broker complaints to the division and only one disciplinary action. That is the bill.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, we are in questions. Members, do we have any questions? Seeing no questions, we are in public testimony. We do have an appearance card. Cody Rogers, International Yacht Brokers Association, waving in support. Any other public testimony? Seeing no other public testimony, we are in debate. Members, is there any debate? Representative Maggard, you're recognized in debate.
Well, I need to do the trifecta. I've talked to everybody else, so I might as well say something.
Of course you do, yeah.
Vice Chair Mooney made me do it.
We blame all of our
problems. I did realize one thing out of your comments. You call a 300-ton boat, I don't know what you would call a ship. Because 300 tons is huge. And you call that a boat, and I'm just like, wow. Great bill. I like it. I just want to know why it's a boat. But good answer.
All right. In debate, Any other members in debate? Seeing no other members wishing to debate, Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to close on HB 95.
I'm going to wave close and say ahoy.
All right. Having closed, Emma, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Rosado Carrera.
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney.
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson.
Yes.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Guerrero.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Edmonds. Harris.
Yes.
Holcomb. Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon. Persons Malika. Steele. Stevenson.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. You can cruise back to your committee. This concludes our agenda. Representative Barrero moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.